We are Natalie and Matthias. We welcome you to our conversations with B2B ecosystem experts and platform founders. Our goal is to uncover what they learned and help you to launch and scale platforms, marketplaces, and business ecosystems. Enjoy! Hello, everybody, to a new episode of our podcast, Platforms for Future. Today, we will talk about understanding market transformations as a key to build hyperscaling platforms. And with me is my lovely co-host, Natalie. Hello, Natalie.
Hi, Matthias.
And Natalie, today we have really a powerhouse of industrial IoT as our guest. So we welcome Joseph Brunner from Munich. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, how's it going? Good to be here.
Great. And you bring with you a lot of experience in implementing platforms, especially in the industrial IoT world. And we are really, really happy to have you in our episode and to talk with you not only about industrial IoT and platforms in this kind of heavy business, but more about taking a broader perspective and to learn more about what you have learned over your career of building different kind of businesses and how is this market transformation perspective really important to implement it. Hyperscaling platform. But before we go into the details, maybe can you start explaining more about yourself, who you are, and of course, for our listeners, what is Relayer?
Yeah, as I don't matter as much as Relayer, we'll keep my part very short. I'm Joseph, entrepreneur by heart, started 4 companies so far, the first one was 16, and Relayer, which will be my last one, is the one that I'm currently enjoying running as CEO. So who is Relayer? We are the company you call when you want to transform your business from CapEx to OpEx. So when you have a machine, whatever the machine does, you know, grinding diamonds, you know, cutting metal sheets, any kind of OEM, if you want to offer this machine as a service in a pay-per-use model, in an industrial subscription model, then you call 555 Relayer and we have the enablement kit that transforms your business from CapEx to OpEx. So that's why we exist and that's what we enjoy.
And how long do you exist?
It feels longer, but it's actually, we got started in 2015 in Berlin and then we got acquired in 2018.
And maybe you can also give us a kind of an impression how the last 5 years went for you as Relayer. So how you started and how you, what kind of journey you went through to make Relayer to what it is today?
Yeah, it was a journey full of learnings. The previous companies I had were all companies that addressed one specific problem in a given market with one dedicated product. So it was very easy to market it towards security companies. The last one was an energy management company. So you had a well-defined buying persona, well-defined product description. We knew which problem we were solving. So it was comparatively easy, to start and scale these companies. Relayer is different because Relayer provides something very abstract, which is a middleware and a foundation, technology foundation you can use to enable new business models. And as you can see, my previous description, you know, call 555 Relayer to get from CapEx to OpEx is significantly easier than my try to explain the technology behind it. And I think that's also a very good headline of the years or the learnings I had during running and scaling Relayer. You know, keep the complexity away from the customer. Don't talk about technology. Focus on the outcome. Focus on what customers want to and will achieve deploying our technology. I would say that is the biggest learning, simplify the value proposition, solve the problem holistically for the customer, put the outcome, in the center of everything that you do, and stop selling technology to technologists, selling outcomes to business people.
So could you give just for those listeners who don't necessarily who haven't yet heard that you know, sentence focusing on outcomes. I mean, I've heard it many times because I think we've heard it from the same place at Cisco. But can you give an example maybe of a customer and how you would, you know, how they focused on, or how you focused on helping them achieve their outcomes?
Yeah, happy to. And you were right. We both learned from Chambers at Cisco, who remains a person I admire and look up to, as not only because he acquired me once, but more importantly, as he taught me so much. You know, a very recent example of a customer engagement we had was Trumpf, one, you know, global market leader in laser cutting and laser cutting machines. And what we did is we worked together to come up with a paper part model that focuses on making the Trumpf customer most successful by guaranteeing to them that they get the best part produced with the best price in the market. So focusing exclusively on what the customers of our customers need to be most successful in their markets is the outcome we focus on. Everything else, be it the machine, the technology, risk transfer, financing, all these wonderful tools we have on our product shelf are, you know, only exist to deliver that outcome. And we thought that it's best to not talk about the complexity of the architecture of our technology and the different components and the rec wheels in this equation, but, you know, simply talk about, you know, the outcome, which is, Mr. Customer, after engaging with us, you will be more successful than before.
And you mentioned also that you have, in your career, ran through the school of John Chambers, and you, at Cisco. And you also mentioned our briefing course before that he was a great mentor to you, that he helps you to understand taking a product perspective will always help you to create a better business. Can you explain or elaborate more on that? What does it mean?
Yeah, I think there's, when I had three mentors in my life, and John was one of the three, and he had an incredible impact on my life. And there's one specific phrase I will always remember when he said, Joseph, don't focus too much on a product, a problem, or a specific market. Focus on a market transformation, or focus on problems that arise when you know, somebody has to transition from one market to the other. And he always used Cisco as an example. You know, Cisco started off as a routing company, then very quickly realized that with the rise of, you know, B2B networks, they needed to also be in the switching arena. So they very quickly acquired a switching company. And then they went on to, you know, play in the arena of convergence. They were the driving force behind voice over IP, video conferencing, and then continued to change the DNA of the company by then trying to get into the Internet of Things arena as well. So he reinvented Cisco a few times. And Cisco at the time, when I left Cisco, was there 2 years. Cisco was only 25 years old. Right, and it shows the speed at which markets transform. And he really took this extremely seriously. And he said, you know, the biggest impact you will have if you not only drive market transformations, but if you can basically foresee them. And then as soon as the market transformation is happening, you have an offer ready to capitalize on that market transformation. So that is one of the key takeaways I take from John.
And I think this is a very good statement or very good advice. So how has you used that advice and think about the IoT field or the industrial industry and said, okay, let what kind of market transformation I see for this space, let's say it's space and not industry, and how can you as Relayer help to transform the market?
Yeah, there's a big difference, Matthias, between hearing that phrase and understanding that phrase. And there's even a bigger difference in making sure that you understand the spirit behind that phrase and execute properly. So what I thought he meant was that, you know, big blue chip, you know, big traditional, you know, old companies, legacy companies will have a problem embracing technology, and we would need to help them embracing technology to make their business more efficient or come up with additional revenue streams. And I was wrong. I think what happened is that not only the companies in these markets had problems understanding the market transformations, but more importantly, the entire end-to-end relationship in markets was being disrupted. So if you look at, you know, machine manufacturers as an example today, the way that this works is you have an OEM manufacturing a machine, you have a distributor in between, you have service companies that provide additional services, you have, you know, distributors that provide the material, and you have logistics and so on and so forth, right? So there's quite a few companies involved, you know, from building the machine to actually, you know, having the produced part in your hands. And what the market transformation is streamlining that entire value chain and vertically integrating the machine into the process. So it's significantly more than just technology. It has to do with offering the machine differently, understanding different buying patterns, understanding what, you know, zero interest rates mean to the market, to the economy in general. Understanding what it means for the end customer in that chain, be it, you know, as an example, the automotive industry, not being able to forecast, you know, their production needs for the next 5 years. What does this mean for their investment decisions? What does this mean for the ROI of their CapEx investments? So that is actually what's important to understand. And everything else, including technology, is a tool that needs to be deployed to have a proper answer to that challenge. And that is something that I didn't understand properly in the beginning. And that is why Relayer, wrongly, I have to say, in the beginning, focused so much on the technology capabilities, platforms, you know, just pick your best buzzword. We were playing in that domain. And at the end of the day, it's all fluff and means nothing if it's not deployed in a way to create efficiencies. So to make a long story short, what IoT does and why IoT exists and the trends around IoT is to positively eliminate inefficiencies in markets out there. And my example, my previous example with the machine manufacturer with the 5 or 6 companies involved, the handovers between these 5 or 6 companies is inefficient. So what you do is you vertically integrate your machine, you provide an end-to-end offer, pay-per-use models, industrial subscriptions. And by doing so, you're eliminating the inefficiencies that exist in these markets. And I think that's why IoT is on the rise. And that's why, you know, we as a company, as example, do exist.
Yeah, this is also a pattern we see, and we always talk and teach to our clients. Platforms are perfect to remove inefficiencies. So the market is already there, but there's a lot of inefficiency there. And with a platform, you make this market or this ecosystem more efficient. And what kind of, or what you described is also for us, the description of the transformation of a business model from a product into a service business model. How do you see also the adoption of companies to a platform business model? So adding a platform to the mixture of business models they have in their portfolio. Do you see this will also be a trend for the, let's say, industrial market?
I think so, but there's an additional consideration that I think is worth understanding. And again, a platform in itself has zero value. A platform is a consequence of something you want to achieve. You know, what you want to do with a platform is, you know, either be more efficient yourself, be more closely connected with your customer, vertically integrate your offering. And then a platform, you know, is a means to enable that goal. what I see, or what I have seen in the past, is that a lot of companies said, oh, I need to have a platform. It's a new gimmick. And then they added, you know, some kind of a technology layer, which was living next to the machine or the service offering or whatever they had, but they didn't really understand the mechanics behind it, and that only if you change the entire machine room and all the mechanics, not necessarily in your technology, but in your go-to-market and your business model, a platform can help you. So that is why I'm very reluctant to use these buzzwords like IoT, like platform, like digital transformation, because it has zero meaning. That's why I'm so focused on being extremely specific when it comes to the business outcome, and try to avoid confusion by using wildcard terms or words that mean everything and nothing to everyone and their dog. So I would be extremely careful with being abstract in these business discussions, and we try to do everything we possibly can to be as concrete as possible.
Yeah, for me, it's also a question about sustainability. Adding this kind of buzzword to the terms we discuss here, because what you described is about the user, what is the value you provide with your business to the user or to the businesses, etc. So this is a more like a B2B or B2C perspective. But in the last years, we also learned that we have to take care of our planet and our society. So how does this perspective play into this advice of, let's see, market transformations and foresee market transformations? Also, this kind of sustainability aspect is now shaping our mindset, is shaping our how we purchase products or how we do businesses. How do you see, how will this sustainability topic will impact the industrial ecosystem?
Totally agree. In fact, sometimes when we have, you know, when we work on projects and our customers ask straight away, what technology are you going to implement? When are we starting to develop the platform? Or when we're coaching, working with accelerators, coaching startups who want to become the next, you know, unicorn platform, they all start with the technology, and they are a bit surprised and interrogation. Or when we say, don't talk about technology, we'll come to that when it's time. First, we focus on why we want to do this. What ecosystem do we want to organize or smoothen? The description of what you made of focusing on the outcomes and really not on the technology or even on the business model of the platform, which is the tool, a means to an end. So totally agree with you on this. But having said that, when, you know, the easiest thing that we see as consumers are, you know, the app. We've all got apps and marketplaces and whatever on our mobile phones. And this is, you know, the first thing that generally we think about. So it's kind of, it's our role to displace that that discussion.
Yeah, there's, I think, a few considerations on the topic. One is, I'm not a big fan of greenwashing. Just painting something green because it's on vogue, I think, is something we have seen 10 years ago, 15 years ago with green IT. We saw the same trend when, you know, sustainability was first, introduced to the boardroom. We saw a trend towards greenwashing, which I'm not a big fan of. But I think, Matthias, you have a point. I think a lot of people talk about the industrial transformation or the fourth industrial revolution. In Germany, it's called Industry 4.0. And that is, you know, basically the realm of IoT. But there's a much bigger transformation going on. And it's not necessarily so much related with sustainability, but it's related with the shift away from a fossil fuel powered economy to an economy based and fueled by renewable energy. And that has a brutal impact on most societies and most industrial markets. It starts with the investment asset classes. Imagine you did a, you know, you did do an investment in a pipeline transporting oil from A to B, and you've made this investment on a 20-year horizon. The likelihood that your business case is coming together is really low. Imagine you have invested pretty significantly in refineries, in fracking, and in other pretty, you know, capital-intense asset classes. I think we see an implosion of these asset classes as not only the society is shifting away from fossil, you know, fuels, but also as we see regulations that force capital to be deployed in quote unquote green asset classes. And that will have this will have a trickle down effect to all major economies. And then if you look at economies like, you know, the ones we have in Central and Northern Europe, where we have extremely energy intense economies, then not only the energy price is an important variable in this equation, but energy reliability and energy availability is extremely important. That will mean that decentralized, you know, management systems will become more important. And then lastly, and this is where I'm trying to close the loop again. When energy wasn't a big topic, you could very, very easily afford inefficiencies. Now as energy is becoming a real constrained resource and energy management is becoming really, really important, you basically have the same problem we addressed prior when we talked about market transformations, which is address inefficiencies, right? I mean, if you have to manage, you know, energy significantly more in a significantly more restricted way, as it's such a limited and scarce resource, you better use it wisely and you better understand where you have waste. I think that is a market transformation we as entrepreneurs and we as a society haven't even started to grasp. I think it will be the biggest thing in our generation. If there is an entrepreneur on the other side of the line, I would jump in with both feet. I mean, this is the biggest thing with unlimited capital and a government enforced transformation that will impact every industrial industry. So long story short, I wouldn't say it's about sustainability. It's about, you know, getting rid of fossil fueled powered economies and industries to renewable energies.
When we talk about sustainability and help corporates to better understand what kind of level of sustainability they could achieve and that they should aim for, we always say at the levels one, let's say the base level, you can start to remove waste and reduce waste you have in wherever you have waste in your production, waste in your packaging, waste in your supply chain, whatever. So kind of inefficiencies are a kind of a waste or a type of a waste. The second level is about start to become to implement kind of circular economy aspects. So you can become kind of, you have zero emissions, so becoming neutral. And on the third level, you can maybe also give something back to the ecosystem. So not waste back to the ecosystem, but something positive. So maybe you use more CO2 than you produce or whatever, so that you have also a positive impact and not just maybe to the nature, but also to the society. So the ecosystem is always about the people or the entities living in this ecosystem. Do you also see something like that, like where platforms can help to have a net positive impact to the ecosystem? Not just removing inefficiencies, but also having a positive impact.
I totally agree with what you just said. You know, waste is the easiest pool of profitability we haven't tapped into. Right. So independent to this being related to sustainability to energy savings. There's so much waste and so much inefficiencies in these markets that is the easier target and the lowest hanging fruit. And then, you know, the concept of circular economy is really, really interesting. As I don't want this to be a real advertising show here, I'll give you another example where we have, you know, basically zero contribution, but we saw this and I really like the concept. It's an elevator as a service concept, I think, starting in the Netherlands, where a bank and an elevator company came together and created, you know, basically a circular offering around elevators. And, you know, we, while I totally understand the elevator as a service concept, something, you know, which is in the core DNA of Relay conceptually, right? It's a product elevator as a service, so CapEx to OpEx. What they did was really interesting because they put it in the context of circular economy. So by owning the elevator and not selling it, but renting it out, the elevator becomes your transportation platform. And as the bank in this case would own the elevator, operate it, service it, you have a closed loop, which I think for, you know, circular economies is extremely important. So we see the marriage, if you will, of consumption-based models in the industrial world, industrial subscription, combined with new financial capabilities, enriched with sustainability topics, to really come up with an offering that is addressing not only one, but actually two very important market transformations, right? So I think that just cements what you just said, Matthias. I think this is a trend which is only starting, and something I'm extremely excited to see how this is going to develop and shape and change industries.
Yes, an interesting example, and you can look at it also from the point of view of having a platform sustainable by design or by purpose or both. I think there's many opportunities, and you're right, it can be easy to fall into greenwashing, but we feel that those platform models, because they are geared towards ecosystems and the you know, the balance and the good collaboration and the efficiency of ecosystems, that they are, you know, facilitator or can be a facilitator to sustainability topics or circular economy topics.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's why one of the big mysteries for me is when there's a debate how to solve, you know, the energy challenge we have ahead of us through technology or through changing our lives, when we actually have so much inefficiencies in the way that we operate our world, you know, and if we would invest 10% of, you know, the fights, you know, that we have between the different polar opposites of that equation, and invested in addressing inefficiencies in our global economy, the supply chains, the way we produce goods, ship goods, sell goods, I think we would make a major leap forward, right? I think sometimes as we as consumers are so detached from the machine room of the technologies and the outcomes we are using, we greatly underestimate how chaotic it is. And a great example of chaos by design is the internet. The internet, you know, with the IP protocol, wastes so much energy through, you know, packet collision, as an example, to become a little, to show my Cisco DNA here. So if you understand, you know, how much energy consumption the internet is responsible for, how quickly this has grown, it's becoming a major topic. It's significantly more than the airline industry. That's significantly more. And it's on the rise, you know, and it will only grow. And now you put the waste of the architecture and the technology in relation to the energy consumption. You know, you could easily save a few percent of the global energy consumption if you would make this more efficient. I'm not saying it's an easy task, right? I'm not sure if it's even possible, but I think that would be a really interesting area to explore, as it's just waste. And you would not have to change your life at all. You would have the same life. It would just be more efficient, right? And that's where I think we should be investigating our efforts.
Yeah, because when we think about waste, we think about maybe garbage or stuff like that more easily. But actually, waste is everywhere. And you just pointed out as an example of hidden waste, which is not the first one you would think about, but one of the major ones, in fact, that has an impact. I think, we're all very passionate about those topics, and we could talk for a long time, and maybe we'll have to reconvene at some point, Josef, and you'll come back on the podcast if you want, and we'd love to have you again. I've got the difficult task of summarizing now. Yes, it's my turn. Thank you, Matthias. So, I'm going to try to make it short because last time I was too long. So, let's make this exercise now. So one of the first things that I heard from you was that really your positioning is not about technology, about building a platform or an IoT platform. It's about helping, your customers moving from CapEx to OpEx model. And actually, this is... when you're talking about technology, you could say that you are in the middleware layer, but you're not really talking about this with you're not positioning yourself like this. You're really positioning yourselves on how your customers can help their customers and really provide concrete outcomes to their own customers. So this outcome notion is really at the a cornerstone of your approach, from what I understood. And correct me if I got this wrong, of course, Josef, don't hesitate. Linked to that, the context, I guess, because we asked you about how you came to that, to create or how Relay was created. It's the context of that was that based on your great mentor's advice, John Chambers, you see Relay as focusing on a market transformation and not... Relayer being providing a product or even a service. So it's really anticipating the market transformation or transition that your customers and their customers' customers are going to go through and positioning yourselves ahead of this transition to help them, surf on this transformation wave. And I guess the last point, because I need to be short on sustainability, was I guess on the stuff we said on sustainability, the main point stuck to my mind is really how platforms can help or can be a very good tool, because it's not a means to an end, it's a tool to maybe focus on removing inefficiencies. And those inefficiencies are waste that we have in our lives and production models, etc. And really, that's how maybe in all different ways, like I said, by purpose or by design, but platforms can help focus on removing those inefficiencies through customer journeys and within ecosystems, and maybe have a medium or longer term an impact on sustainability. I will stop there. Otherwise, Matthias will cut me off.
No, I think you did a great job of summarizing it. And it was really a great pleasure to talking to you, Josef. Not just that you are the CEO of Relayer, one of the leading IoT platforms out there, but also to you as a true entrepreneur and what kind of different businesses you have built over the last years or in your career. So this I think is the best of talking to you today. But before we go and close our session, we always ask our guests, please, could you give a kind of a key advice, maybe a key thing you learned throughout your career as an executive, as a leader, you would like to give to other leaders and executives approaching a platform journey?
Yeah, put the needs and the challenges and the problems of your customer in the middle of what you do. Don't have a romantic relationship with technology. Have a romantic relationship with the business case. I think that's my one piece of advice. And the second one is then focus on execution, right? It's the only thing that matters. Ideas are so easy. It's all about execution.
Yeah, good point. This is also what we see when we go and work with our customers. So they have a lot of ideas, but they always face a kind of an execution gap. And so to help them to overcome this gap is really crucial for most of them. Joseph, thank you very much for joining us and being part of this conversation, and really looking forward to have another conversation maybe in 1 or 2 years and see where we are with our market transformations.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you.